We're continuing our series that we've been in, that we started actually last week, called He Is. Everybody say He Is. So we're in this series about learning some of the things that Jesus said, some of his sayings and also some of his statements and also some of his signs that give us an idea and a picture of who he is. And the reason why this is so important is because culture may say Jesus is one thing, and maybe some of us have grown accustomed to thinking that Jesus is one way. But when we look at scripture, we get a true picture as to who he is. And so I want to take us to the book of John chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. And here's what the Bible says. I want to invite us actually all to stand just for the reading of God's word. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. This is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. As a young person, this scripture gripped my heart and changed my life. But here in John 14, I believe that God has a word for us. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Verse 4, you know the way to where I'm going. Verse 5 says this, Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Everybody say the way. Come on, say it like you mean, say the way. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Verse 5, Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As we continue our sermon series, He Is, I want to preach from this theme and thought today and call today's sermon, He Is the Only Way. Can you tell the person that you're standing next to, tell them, hey, neighbor, I got something to tell you. He is the only way. Find somebody else across the room, yell it out loud. Say, hey, neighbor, I got something for you. He is the only way. Father, would you speak to us in this moment? Would you give us wisdom? Would you give us clarity? Would you give us direction? I pray, Father, that you would teach us through your word. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would have an encounter with you like never before through your word. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And every person said amen. Amen. You could be seated. He is the only way. Family, as we continue our sermon series, He Is, where we're looking at some of the different signs and sayings and statements of Jesus. The reason why we're in this series is because this series is meant to kind of give us an idea in a greater way of who Jesus is. And the reason why this is important is this. I want you to write this down from the outside of this sermon. How we see Jesus determines how we experience Jesus. How we see Jesus determines how we experience Jesus. And in this passage of scripture here in John 14, we get a really broad understanding and also a specific understanding at the same time of who Jesus is and the impact that he really has on our life. But before we kind of get into John chapter 14 in a more detailed way, I want to begin our time together by simply asking us this question. How many of us here today, even by showing hands and watching online, have ever followed directions that were completely wrong? Just by showing hands, how many of y'all have ever had a moment in your life where you followed the advice and the instructions of somebody only to get to the wrong place? You were listening to somebody to say, yeah, go down this street, turn right here, turn left at the stoplight, wait for the squirrel to cross, and then keep going straight. Because you'll know you're happy having random people give you random instructions, right? Follow some instructions and led to the wrong place, right? Nowadays, you know what I'm saying, you follow different types of things that can give you instructions. You got things like Apple Maps and iMaps, whatever it's called now. Then you got Google Maps, right? How many of y'all have ever gotten lost and you were following the GPS navigation system, right? But before there were things like Apple Maps and Google Maps, some of y'all may know a little bit about this. There was something that we had back in the day called MapQuest. Where my MapQuest people at in here in Jesus' name? Where you had to type in the address and you had to print that thing. It was 5 pages of that thing, right? And you following the instructions on MapQuest. And my God, if you don't make a right turn and if you take the wrong turn, you got to go back to page one. Come on, where are my true MapQuest people at? God forbid if you put the wrong address in there. Now you're stuck like Chuck, right? Some of us are familiar with MapQuest. Some of us are real old school. Before there was a MapQuest, it was just a map. Where my OG map people at in here where you had the long jaunt like this? You had to open the joint up. You had to go to AAA and get a map. And you're trying to figure out where it is that you're supposed to go. And you're looking on this map. And you're trying to search the map while you're driving at the same time. Trying to gain some direction. Trying to figure out how to get to where you're supposed to go. But some of us in here, we followed the wrong directions. And we followed those directions to a T, and we still got lost. And here's what happened. Then you're frustrated, and then you're upset. Why? Because you did everything right. You followed those directions to a T, but you still ended up going to the wrong place. And family, that is annoying when you're driving, but even more, that's dangerous when it comes to life as a whole. And the reason why, because even when we talk about God and our relationship with God, when it comes to God, being wrong doesn't just waste time, it costs eternity. This is one of the things we can't get wrong. And we live in a world that is full of all different types of directions. Directions like this, follow your heart. Directions like this, find your truth. Directions like this, do what feels right. But here's the problem. You can be sincere in your following instructions and still be wrong. You and I can be sincere, and what is that we're doing? We can be confident and still be lost. Which brings us here now to John chapter 14, because here in these verses, Jesus is talking with his disciples, following him, washing their feet as an act of service. Because let me pause parenthetically, because when we're talking about leadership and when we're talking about truly being a follower of Christ, being a true follower of Christ and a true servant of Christ, one person who is a true servant of Christ, they don't look for titles to grab. They look for towels to use to serve people. Because early in John chapter 13, the Bible helps us to see that Jesus grabbed the towel and he washed the feet of his 12 disciples, even the ones that would betray him and even deny him. Can I ask you a question? Can you even serve your enemies when it's not convenient and comfortable? True servitude like Christ is serving everybody. He shows us what that looks like. And following this moment, they're now gathering in this moment. And they're having conversation. And in this conversation, Jesus is beginning to give them an idea of some things that are getting ready to happen, those specific things in the form of him going to the cross and him being betrayed and him being casted and falling into the hands of sinners, things like that, that he would ultimately say. And he's beginning to also talk about how he is going away at some point. And he's talking about his eventual departure, his eventual crucifixion on the cross, and his eventual departure at some time later on in scripture. Here's what essentially what's happening. Jesus is preparing them for some hard times. And in these hard times, these disciples are confused and they're perplexed, which is why here in verse 1, if you go back and look at John 14, here's what he says. Don't let your hearts be troubled. So the question we got to ask is, why does Jesus say these words? And the reason why he's saying these words, because obviously what is clear here is the hearts of the disciples were troubled by what he was saying. They were confused. They were possibly anxious about what Jesus was saying. And it's interesting here because the tension in this text is that though they are with Jesus in this moment, they're feeling lost. They're feeling as if they can't figure out the way forward, which is why Thomas says this, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? In short, they are concerned about the future, but they're also concerned about their specific future and how their lives will look over time. And I believe that like the disciples, family, we can find ourselves uncertain about the future and even uncertain about our own future, We're concerned about our own needs being met. We're concerned about our family. We're concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow when we go to work. We're concerned about all this conflict that's happening on the other side of the world in the Middle East. We're concerned about what's going to happen with our kids. We're concerned about what's going to happen in school. And we're concerned and we're anxious and we're oftentimes overwhelmed. And in addition to this, not only is it about what we feel in these moments, but now we also live in a world where there are many options to choose from as it relates to how to deal with what it is that we're feeling, but those things don't really give us a sense of clarity and even certainty. So we live in a time, family, where we're searching for answers. We're searching for direction. We're searching for clarity. And oftentimes the world will say something like this, and maybe you've heard some iteration of it, just do your own thing, figure it out on your own. But let's be honest, trying to figure things out on your own doesn't always work. That can lead to more problems than solutions when it's all said and done. Matter of fact, the Bible says this in the book of Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the what? Way, everybody say way, to death. There is a way that seems right to a person, meaning this, that we live in a day and time where everybody has all these different ways to go about doing things. But those ways are not tested and proven to actually work in the way that we actually need it to. There's a scripture in the book of Judges where there was no proper leadership for the people of God. And the Bible says, and the people did what was right in their own eyes. And if you look throughout the context of the book of Judges, it was one of the most darkest periods in all of scripture. Why? Because people were resorting to doing life their own way. Because they were doing their own way and doing their own thing, led to more turmoil, led to more confusion, led to more brokenness. But here in John 14, what I love about Jesus is that in the middle of what the disciples were feeling, in the midst of the condition that they were in spite of the anxiousness that they were feeling, and in spite of what many of us might be feeling right now, worried, stressed, overwhelmed, not having clarity, not having direction, not having a sense of understanding, in spite of what we are feeling right now, and in spite of what the disciples were feeling in this text, here's what Jesus says in verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Now, for some of us, I know that didn't really get you excited the way it gets me excited. But the reason why it gets me excited is because Jesus is not dismissing the reality of what it is that they're feeling and what it is that we're feeling. But what he is saying is, in the midst of what you're feeling, believe in me, believe in God the Father. So here's the good news, that in spite of what you are feeling, and in spite of what you are dealing with, and in spite of you lacking the clarity that you need, and in spite of maybe not having the direction that you want, Jesus gives us another alternative. And that is to not put our hope in the things of this world, but to put our hope in the one who created this world. To put our hope in the one who can do something about what it is that we're feeling. Which means this, that no matter how lost we feel, no matter how hopeless we feel, no matter how broken we feel, no matter how discouraged we feel, no matter how afraid we feel, we can have hope because Jesus is the one who is hope, and he is the one, as we learned last week, if you didn't get it, go back and listen to last week's message, we learned that he is enough. He is enough for my stress. He is enough for my worry. He is enough for my discouragement. He is enough for my depression. He is enough for my lack. He is enough for every need that I have in my life. He is enough. Who is Jesus? He is the bread of life. Who is Jesus? He is the light of the world. Who is Jesus? He is the Alpha and the Omega. Who is Jesus? He is the faithful one. Who is Jesus? He is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Who is Jesus? He is our trustworthy Savior. That in the middle of what we're walking through, we can lean on him. Matter of fact, write this down. We have a trustworthy Savior for our troubled hearts. I don't know what your heart is troubled about right now, but can I let you know this? You got a trustworthy Savior that you can call on. I don't know what it is that you're walking through right now, but here's what I want you to know in Jesus' name. You can call on the name of Jesus. You can lean on the name of Jesus. You can trust in the name of Jesus. Other people might say they ride or die, but when it really gets down to when the rubber hits the road, they're nowhere to be found. But I'm here to let you know there is one who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There is one that the Bible says sticks closer than a brother. There is one who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change. He is reliable. He is consistent. He is good. good, he is merciful, he is gracious, and his name is Jesus Christ. I think that's a great moment right there for us to take a pause break, a praise break, and a pause, and to give God praise for the fact that we got a trustworthy Savior that we can lean on. Tell the person beside you, you can trust him. Trust him. You can trust him in the middle of your trouble. You can trust him in the middle of your valley. Matter of fact, some of y'all know what it's like to walk through a valley moment in your life. You know what it's like to walk through a dark moment in your life. And you can say, the only reason I made it through that was because of my trustworthy Savior named Jesus Christ. When everybody was turning their backs against me, when I lost the job and when I lost a loved one and my health was beginning to fail, Jesus stayed the same. He didn't leave me. He did not forsake me. Thank God that we got a trustworthy Savior. And in this text, Jesus helps us to see that he is the way. He is the only way for us to experience and have some essentials that I believe every person is ultimately looking for in life. That he is the only way for us to possess and to tap into things that you and I need for our life. Number one, I want you to write this down. He is the only way to have, number one, assurance. Everybody say assurance. He is the only way, and he is the only one who can give us assurance. Assurance in the middle of whatever it is that we're feeling. Assurance in the middle of, of whatever it is that we're walking through. Assurance no matter the weight that we're carrying right now in life. Assurance no matter the confusion that we feel in our life. He is the only way to have assurance. He is the only one who can give assurance. And notice what he says in the beginning of verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So here's what he's already beginning to help us understand. He helps us to begin to see that the answer to our anxiety and our fears and the confusion and the feelings of being overwhelmed and not knowing our way, the answer to that is found in believing in not just the right place, but believing in the right person. And his name is Jesus. Notice what he says next in verse 2. He says this, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. This word rooms literally means mansions, large living spaces and places. He says, in my Father's house, in the dwelling of my Father for all eternity, there is plenty of room set aside for those who trust in him. In other words, he's given us assurance that not only does God want to be with us and not only does God want us to be with him, he gives us an assurance that this will actually come to pass. And when we talk about this word assurance, here's what this word assurance means, because I don't want to assume that we all know that word. I don't want to search intelligence. But there's a difference between assurance and insurance. You do know that. Insurance kicks in, hopefully, when something goes wrong. But assurance says, no matter what the condition is, there's a guarantee that's in place. And the difference between Jesus and other things of this world, Jesus gives us a guarantee. This word assurance, it means guarantee. It is a declaration of something that is certain. When I think about the word guarantee, I'm sorry to kind of take you down a rift, but here's how my mind works. When I think about this word guarantee, I think about one person who says this word guarantee all the time. His name is the well-known Denzel Washington. Some of y'all who be on social media, like you've seen these memes that be made, and like every single movie, he always says, I guarantee. I guarantee. Remember the Titans, I guarantee. Training Day, I guarantee. American Gangster, I guarantee. Mo Better Blues, I guarantee. Malcolm X, I guarantee. Like bro been guaranteeing for 30 years. Can I let you know something? He's my favorite actor, but it's gonna come a day where Denzel Washington is not around anymore. Even he will say, there's certain things he can't guarantee, but I'm here to let you know that there is a man named Jesus Christ, the God man, that whatever thing he says, it will come to pass. He has a guarantee. If he says it, that settles it. He gives a guarantee here, which is why he says, if I wasn't going to do this, why would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? It's a guarantee. So in this passage, he's given us assurance in a few different ways. He's given us an assurance first in his personhood. We see this throughout this scripture and other scriptures. What do I mean by personhood? Who he is. So he says this, I am the way, I am the truth and I am the life. But then there's other declarations that he says about who he is in the scriptures. He says this, we learned this last week. I am the bread of life. Then he says this, I am the gate or I am the door. Then he says, I am the light. So there's many things that Jesus says about him. And there's been many names that have been attributed to him. Some of y'all know him as Jireh, the one who provides. Some of y'all know him as healer, the one who heals. Some of y'all know him as faithful, the one who will never leave you nor forsake you. He is everything that we need him to be. In his name, there is power. In his name, there is deliverance, which is why the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. He is King of kings and he is Lord of lords. We got assurance in his personhood, who he is, but we also got assurance in his plan. How, Pastor? Because when you look at this scripture, notice what he says in verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? He says, if I go away and prepare a place for you, verse 3, he says, I'm preparing a place for you. In other words, here's what he's helping us understand. He has a plan for us. He's got a plan for your life. He's been orchestrating some things. He has a purpose. He's got a plan for every person who says yes to him. Can I let you know this? Jesus had a plan for your life even before you were born and came out your mother's womb. Which is why the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, when God is speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I set you apart. Can I let you know this? You don't have to try to figure out what your plan, what God's plan is for your life and what your purpose is for your life on your own. Go to the one who created you. There's assurance in his plan. But here's another thing. He also gives us assurance and a promise, and his promise specifically. So here's what he says in verse 3 of John 14. If I go away and prepare a place for you, here's what he says. I will come again. Meaning this, I'm coming back. I promise you I'm coming back. That's a guarantee. I guarantee Denzel Washington voice. That is a promise. Later on in this message series, he is. I'm going to do a whole message called, He Is Coming Back. Because I want you to know that if he said he's coming back, he's coming back. And some people are trying to figure out, he said he was going to come back long time ago. But here's the thing, nobody knows the day and hour in which he's coming. And some of people are like, well, why he ain't came back yet? Well, the problem with that thought is the Bible helps us to understand that the reason why he hasn't come back yet is because he is giving us more time to be able to come to him, because he does not want anybody to perish. But best believe he's coming back. It's an assurance. Yeah, and he ain't never late neither. You know how some people say, I'm on the way, but that's cold for 30 minutes. I'm 5 minutes away. You just left the house, right? Can I let you know this? Jesus says, he's coming back. And everything that he's saying here is in spite of what they're feeling and in spite of what they're going to endure in the coming days of his death on the cross for the sins of humanity. And these words are meant for them to take comfort in, because they're assurances in his words. These words of Jesus are comforting words. They are words of assurance. Why? Because Jesus gives us comfort in the fact that he assures us that he is working on our behalf, hear me, even when we can't see it. So here's what he's told the disciples, and he's also told us. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. What's Jesus doing right now? Preparing a place for all who would say yes to him. That's what he's doing right now. You can't see it, but it don't mean he's not doing it. Pastor, what are you trying to help me understand? I'm trying to help us understand this major arching principle that you see all throughout the scripture. It's easy for us to think that because we can't see God working, it means he's not working. But I'm here to let you know that just because you don't see him working with your natural eyes does not mean he is not working behind the scenes. Which is why the Bible says that he works all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And some of y'all have an experience with that online and in person, because you didn't know how a situation was going to work out. You don't know how things were going to pan out. But then all of a sudden, something worked out in your favor. And I'm here to let you know that was not the universe. That was not luck. That was not coincidence. No, that was the God of the creator of the universe working things out for your good. He's working even when we can't see it. And the reason why this is good assurance, family, is because it lets us know that no matter what it is that we're walking through, hardship, difficulty, unthinkable, hurtful moments, Only the help and the comfort from God can get us through. Only the comfort of God and his words can get us through. His assurances get us through. Many people have asked us recently, Pastor, how are you and Ariel doing? How's Ariel doing? Because many of y'all know, we shared a few weeks ago how we had a major death in the family. Her father passed away, and that's been hard. Many of us have asked, man, how are you doing? And many people are like, man, I don't know how y'all do it. What you mean? How you still get up there and preach? How y'all still show up to stuff? And how you still doing this? And we tell them, it ain't us. It's the grace of God. Oh, man, I'm not as strong as you are. I'm not as strong as you think I am. The only way we are here standing is because we're standing not in our strength. We're standing in the strength and the grace and the power of God. It's the grace of God that's carrying us through. Which is why the Bible says these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts. Verse 4, look at this. He comforts us in all our affliction. How many afflictions? A few? All. Why? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The reason why we make it through the hard moments in life, and some of y'all can testify because you've walked through some hard moments in your life. You walked through the unthinkable moments in your life. You walked through dark moments in your life. And you have said that the only way you made it through that was not because of your skill. It wasn't because of your smarts. It wasn't because of your strength. It was because of the supernatural power and comfort of God that carries you through those moments. And I want to let us know this. Jesus did not promise us a comfortable life. He didn't promise us a comfortable life, but he did promise us a life of God's comfort. Matter of fact, early on, he says this, in this life, you will have much trouble. But take joy because I've overcome the world. I'm here to let you know that you're going to walk through some hard moments, some heavy moments. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that our comfort is not based upon the condition of our life. Our comfort is based upon the character of our God. And the reason why this is good news for some of us in here, because right now life is hard right now. And right now things are heavy right now. But the words of Jesus here in John chapter 14 verses 1 through 3 specifically, these words here is Jesus is helping the disciples to understand, in spite of how you feel, better and greater is on the way. Boys, I know y'all struggling right now, but I want you to know this. It won't always be this way. I know you're hurting right now, but I want you to know this. It won't always be this way. Why is this good news? Because it means that no matter what it is that I'm walking through right now, no matter how dark it is, no matter how heavy it is, no matter how bad it is, can I give you some encouragement? It will not always be this way. This too will pass. Why? Because we have something to look forward to, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Because in the life to come, Jesus says that there will come a day and a time where there will be no more dying, no more crying, no more cancer, no more sickness, no more wars, no more racism, no more division, no more hostility, no more divorces, no more bankruptcy, no more depression, no more anxiety, no more stress. There will come a day and time where all those things will cease to exist. Here's what he's promised us. It might be bad right now, but it won't always be this way. When I was growing up, they would have a saying like this, trouble don't last always. The things will get better. And this hope that he gives is not based upon something that's earthly. It's based upon something that's eternal. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. Here's the promise. Here's the reason why we have some assurances and the reason why you can have hope even when it's heavy. It's because if I trust in the Lord, I got a promise from God, an assurance from God that I'll be strengthened in the middle of what it is that I'm walking through. That even if my situation does not change the way that I want it to change, I got good news because my God is with me in the middle of my situation to get me through whatever it is that I'm walking through. Here's another scripture. Some of us are familiar with this. If you've grown up in church, maybe heard it at some point. Psalm 30, verse 5 says these words, "For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning." Some translations say it like this: weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm here to let you know that you might be in a season of weeping right now, and you might be in a season of mourning right now. You might be in a season of difficulty right now, but can I give you some hope in the name of Jesus Christ that what you are walking through right now, it is a temporary moment. I'm here to let you know that the God of all grace is with you in the middle of whatever it is that you're walking through right now, that though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear. Why? Because God is with you. Which means this, family, things might be hard, but here's the good news. He'll make it right. Wars may be breaking out, but here's the good news. He will have the final say when it's all said and done. Bills may be piling up in your life, but here's the good news. He has promised to provide. Family may be struggling, but he has promised to help you get through whatever it is that you're walking through. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that's grateful for the fact that no matter how bad things look right now, we got a Savior in heaven who has promised us that things will get better at some point and in some way. He gives us assurance, and he is the only one who can give us assurance. He is the only one who can give us hope. I like what the late theologian Saint Augustine says. He says this: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Meaning this, family, that this key solution to the restlessness that I feel on the inside is not more stuff. It's not another vacation to Cabo, Mexico. It's not going on a cruise. The key to the restlessness of my soul is to rest in the one who created my soul. The key to the restlessness of my soul is to rest in the lover of my soul. That's the assurance that we have. But not only is he the one and the only way to assurance, write this down, he is also the only way to have access. He's the only way to have assurance, but he's also the only way to have access. Here's what the Bible says in verse 5. Thomas says this: "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Here's what Jesus says: "I am," verse 6, "the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I said this in the first service, I'm gonna say it again. I wonder how Jesus said this statement, you know, like I wonder if he said it gently. Or Jesus has some of the most gangster lines in scripture. Right? "Jesus, I'm looking on MapQuest. We can't find the way. I'm the way, fool." Like, I wonder what he said. "You looking for the map? I am the map." Here's what Jesus is trying to help us understand. He is the way to not just have assurance, but to have access. Here's what he's teaching us. He says, no one comes to God the Father except through him. And the reason why this is important is because in their time, and even in today's time as well, there is a prevailing thought that in order to gain access to God, that I got to follow, in that time especially, the law of God perfectly, and that our good deeds will save us. But the problem with that is the Bible says this also, that our righteousness is like filthy rags. So no matter how much good we can do, we cannot do enough good stuff to overcome the bad stuff that we've already done. So Jesus says, you cannot put your faith and trust in any other source. The only way you can get access to God the Father, the only way that you can have access to heaven is through him. And he makes this clear when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Here's what he's helping us to understand. Jesus is the passcode. He is the password. And he is the pathway into God's presence. Just like you need a passcode to get into some of y'all phones, whether it's you got to put a code in or you just hold it up to your face. Now some of these, like our kids, they be real smart now. They be like, "Dad, like, let me get your face for a minute." "For what?" "Oh, you slickster." Because the only way to open up that phone is through the authorized way. Jesus saying, the only authorized way for you to have access to heaven is through him. And it's here that he also says he is the truth. And when he says the truth, he's saying, "I am the truth." And the reason why this is so important is because back in their time, many people claimed these various ideas of truth, which is also something that's been popularized in today's time. where there are statements like, and no shade to any of us who may say this, but I just want to point this out just to be as an example. We say things like my truth. And I think what we're trying to convey is my experience. But the reason why those words are somewhat dangerous when we say my truth is because now we make truth subjective to our experiences. So there's no such thing as my truth. There's the truth. It's the truth whether you believe it or not. You don't got to believe the truth that if you break the speed limit law that you won't ever get pulled over. You don't got to believe that. I believe that I can go as fast as I want and I'm never going to get a citation in Jesus' name until you break that law and get pulled over to the side of the road. Truth is truth whether you receive it or reject it. And Jesus is helping us to see he's not just a truth. He's not just some truth. He is the truth. And when Jesus says he is the life, he means he is the source of life. And the reason why that's important is because in today's time, many people are asking this question. What's the way to heaven? How do I get to God? How do I get to heaven? What is life supposed to look like? And in today's time, many people oftentimes believe that what you do gets you to heaven. But that's not true according to Jesus. You and I cannot do enough to get ourselves in heaven. So let me say this plainly. Coming to church does not get you to heaven. Because coming to church is not the same as coming to Christ. Being a kind person doesn't get you to heaven. Being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. Doing nice things for people does not get you to heaven. We don't get to heaven on our merit. We get to heaven based upon the merits of Jesus Christ. We don't get to heaven based upon our name. We get to heaven based upon the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to write this down, that the way to heaven is not by what we do, but by believing in who Jesus is and what he's done. What did he do? He went to the cross. He paid for our sins, and he rose back to life on the third day to give us new life. When we believe in that and when we receive in what he has done through the cross and through the empty grave, when we believe in who he is and what he has done, that is the access that we now have to heaven. So here's what the Bible says in Acts 4. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. Verse 12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Here's what Peter is saying to all the listeners back in his day. There's only one name that can save you from your sin. There's only one name that can forgive you of all your iniquity. There's only one name that can get you into heaven. There's only one name that can give you access to God the Father. And it's not Allah, and it's not Buddha, and it's not Confucius, and it's not the universe, and it's not anything else. All due respect, it's none of those other names. There's only one name that can get you to heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And many people today and for years have believed even this, that all religions lead to the same place. That's called universalism. And Jesus is saying in Matthew, even Matthew 7, 13, he says these words, broad is the path that leads to destruction and many will go down it. But narrow is the path that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Meaning this, all roads don't lead to heaven, but there are many roads that lead to hell. All roads don't lead to heaven, but there are many roads that lead to hell. Which means this, believing in all these other belief systems don't get me to heaven. It's only believing in one name, the name of Jesus. There's only one access way to heaven, and his name is Jesus. And here's the good news. He's made that way available to all of us. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Here's what Paul is saying. Jesus came down from heaven to earth to reconcile us back to God, to put us back in right relationship with God, because our sin is what separated us from God. Our sin is what caused separation from God, but Jesus came to bridge the gap between us and God, which is why we've called our church the Bridge Church. Because just like a bridge connects one body of land to another, but just like you need a bridge to get from Hampton to Norfolk, and I know some of y'all do everything you can to not have to go over there at all. But without that bridge, or the other one called the Mott or the Merrimack, depending on what time of the day it is, you don't get across the water to and fro. Jesus is the bridge who connects us to God the Father. He is the one who connects us, which is why the vision of our church is this, to see all people connected to Christ. Because we believe that in Jesus Christ is everything that you need. Life is in Jesus Christ. Family is in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is in Jesus Christ. Freedom is in Jesus Christ. Healing is in Jesus Christ. Deliverance is in Jesus Christ. Provision is in Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, family, we're disconnected. Without Jesus, we're at sea without any type of life raft at all. One person said it like this, that all the world religions is all about man trying to get to God. But the difference between the Christian faith and every other major world religion is not that it's man coming up to God. It's about God now coming down to man. Jesus came down from heaven to earth to reconcile us back to God. He doesn't just show us a way. He shows us that he is the way. Can I let you know this? The universe is not the way to heaven. Your favorite podcaster is not the way to heaven. I don't care how many doors you open up for somebody out of the kindness of your heart. That ain't gonna get you into heaven either. I'm here to let you know there's only one name that will get you in heaven, and that name is the name of Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. He is the only one, and he is the only way. I want to close with this thought. When I think about the fact that Jesus says he is the only way, here's what comes to my mind. On the road, as we talked about earlier, with MapQuest and all these different directions, there's different signs on the road. Stop sign, yield sign, don't enter sign. But then there's a sign that may say a one-way sign. One-way sign that looks something like this. Many of us, when we see this, let's be honest, we be like, if ain't nobody around, going the other way. But this sign is meant to give direction. This sign is really not a suggestion. It's actually a law. And if I break this law and don't go according to this sign, I can get what's called a moving violation. I can get a citation. I can get a ticket. But this sign is actually here for my benefit. This sign is actually here for my well-being. It's meant to protect me. Because if I'm not careful, if I go the opposite way, here's what I'm doing. I'm putting my life at risk for a collision to happen, for a crash to happen, for a catastrophe to happen. Even when I break this law and I get caught, there's a fine there. There's a ticket that I gotta pay. It costs me to go down the wrong way, to go against this sign. And what I'm afraid of is that many people are living their lives going down the wrong way in life. And it's leading to chaos. It's leading to catastrophe. It's leading to collisions and ultimately to eternal separation from God. And the tragedy is that many people don't know that they're going down this way until it's too late. Some of us might be here watching online, and you're here in this person, in this place as well. And your life right now, it's not going this way. It's going the opposite way of what God has said. And I'm here to let you know that if your life is going the opposite way, God sent me on assignment to let you know that you don't have to figure out the way to life any longer. You don't have to try to do things on your own any longer. That even if you're going the wrong way, by the grace of God, you can turn your life around. That's this biblical word called repentance. And you can begin to go down the way that the Lord Jesus has prescribed and made available to you. I'm here to let you know that his way leads to life, that his way leads to healing, that his way leads to joy, that his way leads to fulfillment, that his way leads to peace, that his way leads to hope. He is the only way. He's the only way that we can experience fulfillment. And I want to let you know this. On the cross, he made a way. When he shed his blood on the cross, he made a way. When he said, "It is finished," on the cross, to tell us that, he made a way. when he was buried in the tomb for 3 days, but then when he got back up on the third day with all power in his hand, he not only made a way, but he made that a way available and open to everybody, that whosoever would trust in him would have life and have it more abundantly. And I want to know, is there anybody here today that's grateful for the fact that we got a way, and his name is Jesus, the one who gives us peace, the one who gives us hope, the one who gives us joy, the one who gives us fulfillment. He is the only way. There is no other way, no other name under heaven by which we can be saved other than the name of Jesus. There's only one name that can heal. His name is Jesus. There's only one name that can reconcile. His name is Jesus. There's only one way that we can get to heaven. His name is Jesus. There's only one name that can truly bring a family back together. His name is Jesus. There's only one name that can truly provide. His name is Jesus. There's only one name that can free from addiction and free from generational curses. His name is Jesus. Is anybody here grateful for the name of Jesus on your life? The name. One name alone. No other name can save us. No other name can reconcile us. No other religion can get me to God. Only Jesus can. There's only one name that can give us assurance that no matter how bad things are, it won't always be this way. And what some of us maybe have been doing, you've been trusting in every other name except the name of Christ. Maybe for some of us, we've been trusting in our own name. We've been trusting in the name of our career, in the name of our boss, in the name of our spouse, name of our kids. I'm here to let you know, when you put your full trust in any other name other than Christ, it will lead to catastrophe and collisions. But when you put your faith and trust in the name that's above all names, that name that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, that name that got up out of the grave on the third day, that name that heals, sets free, and delivers, that name that forgives us of sin, that name that washes us clean, that name that makes us into new creatures, that name that gives us hope, that name that gives us joy, that name that gives us life. You trust in this name, you experience the benefits of this name. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment. Some of you are here today and you've never trusted in the name of Christ. You've been trusting in a whole bunch of other names. I know what that feels like. Here's the Cliff Notes version. It don't work. Eventually it falls apart. But there is a name that will hold you together. There is a name that will get you into heaven. There is a name that when it is applied to your life, here's what the Bible now says. Your life now is hidden in Christ, which means he has put his name on you. And when you say yes to him, you get his name, the name of Jesus. He is the only way. There is no other way. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is the only way for everyday life, and he is the only way for eternal and everlasting life. He is the way. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here in this place and in this moment, and you've never said yes to Jesus, I want you to know this. Today is the day to come to him. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved by believing in what he has done for you. This is the gospel. Your sins aren't washed because of good things you do. Your sins are washed because you've trusted in the good thing that he has done. Jesus came from heaven to earth to die for your sins in your place and in mine. He rose back to life on the third day so that when we trust in him, we might have life and have it more abundantly. If you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, today is the day of new beginning for you. I believe that the Lord is calling you to him today. I believe that some of you are here today and you need to give your life to Christ. Do not walk out of this door going the wrong way. Today is a clarion call. You're going the wrong way, but today you can begin to go the right way. On the count of three, if you're ready to give your heart and your life to Jesus today, if you want to trust in him, on the count of three, would you shoot up your hand? One, today is a day of new beginning. Two, any person in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, slip up your hand. You want to give your life to Christ? Come on, wherever you are. Just want to see your hand, wherever you are, slip up your hand. Amen. 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 Come on, if you're online, this is for you as well. For every hand that's lifted in this place, I want you to say these words after me. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate those who said yes to Christ today? Amen.